This is Vincent Price. It made the headlines, of course. Wife killer pleads for death. Ludlow Case, a nice guy who before the tragedy had done nothing more violent than crush an ice cube, had killed his wife, choking her to death. It made the radio and the television news. Listeners were informed, Ludlow Case, confessed murderer, goes berserk in court, hysterically demanding his own execution. There was bedlam in the courtroom until deputies managed to grab Ludlow Case and restrain him. Ludlow sobbed pitifully and mumbled that his wife was a good woman, a fine woman, repeating it over and over, crying that he loved her and she loved him. But he killed her and wanted only to die. He even asked for a knife or a gun so that he could do the job himself. Well, Ludlow got his wish, the death penalty. It was over. Yesterday's news. The sob sisters stopped speculating as to what bizarre set of circumstances could have led the big, heretofore gentle man to kill the good woman he professed to love. The defense lawyer went ahead with the usual appeals, Ludlow too indifferent to even realize what was happening. As far as the public was concerned, the case was closed. The execution would be covered, of course, but it would be routine. And then, 3 short days before he was scheduled to die, the man who had begged for the electric chair asked to see his lawyer. It was urgent. Something horrendous had happened. He had to see his lawyer right away, right that minute. And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Love Spelled Backwards by Marion Turk. Our stars, Harley Bear and Virginia Gregg.
Attorney James Folliday could not comply with Ludlow Case's demand that he see him right away. Folliday was in trial defending some other poor soul, but he made it to the death row cell that evening.
Hi, Lud. You okay? Lud, it's me, Folliday. Come on, Lud, snap out of it.
He didn't come.
I'm here. I came as soon as I could.
I need him and he won't come.
Lot, get up. Move around.
Leave me alone. I want my lawyer. What do you think you're doing? Keep your hands off of me. Oh, it's you. Well, about time.
I'm sorry I had to do that. You're really out of it.
So you finally got here.
What's the problem, Lud?
Problem? I'm sitting here on death row. That problem enough? And a few stinking hours are going to march me down that hall, strap me in that chair.
You think I don't care? I did my damnedest, you know that. You've only got yourself to blame. All you did was scream that you were guilty, that you wanted to die.
I changed my mind.
How come? All during the trial, you had this passionate flirtation with death. Well, why the turnabout?
I got reasons.
It's a little late, Lord.
You've got to help me. I can't die now. I got to live. I gotta live as long as possible.
Well, all I can do now is try for commutation to life.
That's it. Do it. Get me life. Life.
All right, but I can't go in empty-handed. I've got to have something to present, some new evidence, or at least some extenuating circumstance. You never even told me why you killed your wife.
She was a good woman.
You said that. You kept saying
it. It's true.
Then why?
This lousy cot creaks every time you move. You'd think the least I could do for a guy is give him a cot that doesn't creak.
Lud, I'm asking you why.
I'm no monster. Just because I look big and tough doesn't mean anything. Inside, I'm a marshmallow.
So what happened?
She was a good woman.
Lud, try to understand. You'll have to give me something to work
with. In all the time we were married, she never yelled or screamed or cussed me out. I'd get uptight, but she'd stay cool. Cool, calm, and chock full of love.
Well, a minute ago you were fighting mad. Now you're going dreamy on me again. I've heard all this stuff. You know, 100 times I've heard it. She was the perfect wife, the greatest housekeeper, the most fantastic cook.
Her souffle never fell. I mean, never.
Okay. She was too good to be true.
So why did you kill her? She loved me. Go figure, women. I never thought I had a chance with her. I'm just a slob. But she loved me.
We're not getting anywhere, Lark.
She did everything for me. Bought all my clothes, laid them out for me in the morning, got up early to fix my breakfast.
So?
Her name was Ebal, you know.
Yes, it's an odd name.
Well, don't you get it? E-V-O-L. Love. Spelled backwards.
Oh.
Her mother's name is Legna. L-E-G-N-A. Try spelling that backwards.
Oh.
When Ebal was 12, her father killed himself.
Well, you never told me that.
Nobody could understand why. He seemed to have everything, especially the perfect wife.
Well, go on.
One day, he came home from work, drove the car into the garage, turned off the motor, put a gun to his head, and pulled the trigger.
Good Lord.
Every night when I drove home from work, I'd think about him. I'd put the car in the garage and sit there for a while. I bought a gun, kept it in the glove compartment. Sometimes I'd take it out, raise it to my temple, but I never had the guts to pull the trigger. So I'd steel myself, because I knew she'd be there waiting with a great big smile. Was your day full of love? She'd ask.
It's cute.
I thought so, too, at first. And I'd answer, well, not exactly, but the night's going to be. And I'd take her in my arms, and she was all round and soft like a rag doll.
Lud.
Like I said, way back at the beginning, I never thought I had a chance with her. It didn't enter my mind to ask her to the senior prom. I went stag with Brad and 2 other guys, and she was there with Willie Pomeroy. She was all rosy pink and white in a fluffy kind of dress. She looked good enough to eat. I couldn't keep my eyes off her. But I'd never had the nerve to ask her to dance. And then, towards the end of the evening, she walked right up to me.
Hello, Ludlow.
Hi.
Aren't you ever going to ask me to dance?
Who, me?
Ludlow Case, don't you like me? Even a little?
Well, sure, you really want to dance with me?
Oh, silly. Come on. You're a very good dancer.
Who? Me?
Who, me? Is that all you can say?
Who, me? Sorry, I guess I'm just kind of...
Surprised?
Yeah.
I've been admiring you for a long time.
Me? You have?
You're so strong. And yet so, well, kind of tender. And you're not all full of your own importance.
I guess that's because I'm not important.
Not important? When you're just about the best player on the football team? You should have been captain instead of that stupid Jess Fallons.
You really think so?
You can run rings around any fellow in school. Why, the way you got Pat and Jerry to stop fighting last week?
Oh, well, all I did was bump their heads together and got them talking instead of punching.
All you did? Oh, you're so modest. You should toot your own horn more. No, never mind. I'll toot it for you.
You want to know something?
What?
I almost flunked English Lit because of you.
Because of me?
Yeah, I couldn't concentrate. Not with you sitting right in front of me. I kept looking at your hair.
Oh,
and...
Ludlow.
She She came just about up to my shoulder. I drew her closer, and we kept on dancing. Sometimes I can still smell the perfume she was wearing. It was like holding a whole bunch of lilacs. After that, we started going steady. I got a job in a hardware store and went to night school to learn bookkeeping. And when they made me assistant bookkeeper at Johnson's Lumber Company, we were married. She was the one who proposed. She'd have waited for me, I'd still be trying to get up the courage.
Condemned man lay sprawled on the creaking cot. It was as though the pain of remembering was draining his last bit of strength. But Folliday kept probing like a surgeon with a scalpel, hoping to ferret out the cancer.
So you got married?
Yep. A nice church wedding. All our friends were there.
And then?
There was a reception in the backyard of her aunt and uncle's home. Her mother was in a sanitarium, been there ever since her father did what he did. Evol's aunt and uncle didn't like me much. They thought she was throwing herself away so that, well, they thought she could do a lot better. It was true, of course. She could have had almost anybody. Des Fellens was on the top of her aunt's list. His father was vice president of a bank.
But she loved you.
Yeah. The honeymoon was great. I discovered feelings I never knew I had. I hadn't been around women much. My own mother died when I was a kid. My dad never remarried. The two of us just batched it. I thought it was really something, the way she fussed over me. I even let her crack my breakfast eggs and spoon-feed me. When I took my shower, she asked me to leave the bathroom door open. She didn't want anything to come between us.
So when did it go sour?
I don't know. It wasn't any one thing. Maybe if we'd had children. She had two miscarriages, you know.
No, I didn't know.
Funny thing, what the doctor said. I never believed him, of course.
Well, what'd he say?
That she brought on the miscarriages, that she didn't really want children.
Maybe she was afraid they'd come between you.
Oh, with all that love to give, why wouldn't she want kids? After each time she lost the baby, she'd cry for days and cling to me. All I have is you, she'd say. Then she'd dry her eyes and tell me, you're all I need. She was being brave about it, you see.
I see.
After she lost the second baby, we gave up trying. And she clung more than ever. She used to say she hated to see me leave for work in the morning, and she could hardly wait to meet me for lunch. Every day she'd go to all the bother of taking the bus downtown just to be sure I ate right. We'd go to a health food cafeteria. She'd take one tray for the both of us. Cozier that way, she said.
Darling, doesn't that carrot salad look divine?
Looks like carrot salad. And I can't stand it, especially with coconut and marshmallows.
Carrots are good for you. They're chock full of vitamin A.
I have a great idea. Let's live dangerously and eat something sinful.
I love it when you're facetious, darling. It takes some sprouts.
I hate sprouts.
Nonsense. It's the best thing in the world for you. Here. Would you like some soybean loaf?
Would it do any good to say no?
Oh, darling, you're so funny.
Hey, there's something I want. Chocolate pudding.
Carob, dear. But it must be left over. They had it yesterday. Take the prune whip.
No prune whip. Anything but prune whip.
What did you say, dear?
Not a thing. I didn't say a thing.
Well, while you're pairing, I'll run and get that nice table over by the window.
Sure.
Isn't this a lovely table?
Absolutely.
How was your morning, honey?
Okay. Pete wanted me to have lunch with him.
Oh, he could have joined us.
Here? You couldn't pull him in here with a tractor. He's strictly a hamburger and beer man.
Oh, well, you must insist he come sometime. He should learn to eat right.
I'll tell him you said so.
His wife should take better care of him.
He's not married.
Well, Someday he'll meet a real nice girl, and then all his troubles will be over. Why don't you ask him for dinner, and I'll invite Mabel Gordley.
He's got a girlfriend. And anyway, you don't want to waste your elegant cooking on him. Why, he wouldn't appreciate it.
Darling, don't talk with your mouth full. And don't put so much margarine on your roll.
She did cook real elegant, believe me. Lunch out was soybeans and sprouts, but dinner at home was gourmet all the way. She made all kinds of fancy things and tried to teach me how to pronounce them, but I never could. Vichy sauce and all that. It was mostly kind of soft, creamy stuff. She wouldn't ever just slap a big, juicy steak on the pan. When I'd tell her that was all she had to do to make me happy, she'd smile, that soft, understanding smile she had, and say she liked to fuss and bother for me.
A most unusual woman.
Taking care of me was her mission in life. If I had to work late, she phoned every half hour to warn me not to get overtired, the slightest cold, and I'd be put to bed with a vaporizer, heating pad, and hot lemonade. And on Valentine's Day, you know what she did one Valentine's Day? Maybe that's what did it.
Love. Who can fathom its many guises or control its power? Like all power, love has the capacity to heal and also to wound. What was it Ewald did to Ludlow on that Valentine's Day, the day of love? To find out, we go to the offices of Hunter & Company Builders, where Ludlow had a desk in a very large room that accommodated bookkeepers and accountants. A messenger boy is walking towards Ludlow's desk.
You Mr. Ludlow Case?
Right.
I got something for you.
Okay, where is it?
It's downstairs. See, it's kind of big, so I didn't want to lug it up here till I was sure. The address was blurred.
So what is it?
It's a Valentine, sir. I'll be right back.
You getting a Valentine, Lud?
I'm afraid so.
Yeah, I got one this morning. Overdrawn bank statement.
I have a feeling mine will be worse.
Here you are, sir. Would you just sign for it, please?
Well, you look at that. Hey, that's as big as I am. A great big red satin heart. Hey, what does the ribbon say? Evie loves Lud. Oh, ain't that the pits?
Get that thing out of here.
Well, you haven't seen it all, sir. See, there's this round box in the center, you see? And you're supposed to open it.
I've seen enough.
But that's the main attraction. See, you open the box, and then a Cupid doll springs out.
A Cupid doll?
And she talks, too. Here, I'll do it for you.
Kissy-poo, I love you.
Kissy-poo. Are you going to get that thing out of here, Dorothy?
Smash her. Yes, sir. Right away. I'm just doing my job. I'm sorry about that, sir.
Kissy-poo, I love you.
Well, Folliday, your wife ever do a thing like that?
Hardly. Did you talk to her? Did you try to get her to listen to reason?
Are you kidding? I tried everything. It was like talking to water. Can you make a river flow any different by using words? She'd listen, she'd agree with everything I said, and then she'd go right along the same as always. In desperation, I got the idea that maybe if somebody else talked to her, a professional, you know, maybe even a psychiatrist.
Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
Or, of course, I couldn't come right out and say I thought there was something wrong with her. I had to make her believe I was the one needed a head doctor.
How'd you do that?
Well, I'd been having the same kind of dream almost every night. I'd be at a phone booth, and it would be very important that I call Evie. It'd be life or death, but no matter what I did, I couldn't get her. I'd dial, and nothing would happen. I'd call the operator, and she'd come on, and then go off before I could say anything. And I'd look around for someone to help, and there was never anybody There was nothing but the phone booth and the darkness. And I'd keep on dimes in and dialing and dialing, and then I'd wake up in a cold sweat.
What did the psychiatrist say?
Oh, he said it was a sign of frustration. I already knew that. I'd read a book on dreams once. But I told Evie I was worried and was going to see this doctor and wanted her to come along.
Well, she went with you?
Oh, sure. She couldn't wait. Of course, I saw him myself the day before, even though I had to pay extra. I had to explain the whole situation, that he was to pretend I was the patient, but that what I really wanted was to see if there was something he could do about her. His name was Roselle, Dr. Leon Roselle, and he had a foreign kind of accent that sounded put on to me.
Ah, dear people, come in, come in. Sit, sit, sit. I'll be with you in a moment. Ah, here it is. Yes, of course, Case. Monsieur and Madame Case. Monsieur's having dreams, no?
Yes. I'm always dialing this phone and...
Dreaming is not too serious. Anything else bother you?
Well, you know, Doc, like I said, when I made the appointment, my wife, Evie, she came along.
Yes, yes, of course.
Whatever it is, I want to help Ludlow see it through.
Most commendable indeed. Tell me, madam, you and your husband, you have a good relationship?
Oh, our relationship couldn't be better. We love each other as much now as the day we were married. Maybe more.
No complaints?
Complaints? About Lud? Every day I thank the good Lord for sending him to me. He's my whole world.
Oh, so perhaps he should not be your whole world. Perhaps...
I'm sure your wife feels the same.
My wife? Well, my wife. What can I say?
Are you all right, Dr. Roselle? You look so tired.
Tired?
Oh, you poor man. You're exhausted. And no wonder, listening to people's troubles all day long.
Day after day.
Oh, you should take a vacation.
How can I? Appointments, appointments, nothing but appointments. Paranoiacs, psychopaths, manic depressives, all needing me. They're draining my life's blood.
Now, what you should do is quit. Go into another line of work.
How can I quit? How else can I make so much? I'm up to my beard in debt. My wife throws money around like it was Kleenex.
Oh, I wish I could help.
Nobody helps a psychiatrist. Nobody thinks we have problems.
You must calm down now. Do not excite yourself. Just relax. Just relax. And let me massage the back of your neck.
Madam Case.
Call me Evie. In just a minute, you'll feel much better. You'll see.
Madam Evie.
My, all the muscles back here are so tight.
Oh, that feels so good. Oh, you have the touch, definitely. Oh, you have the touch.
Now, about your wife. You must be firm. Very firm. She'll respect you for it.
She will?
Of course. Now, I'll tell you what you must do. You must tell her that the next time she buys anything without asking you, you will shave off all her hair.
Oh? You think it will work?
I guarantee it, Dr. Roselle.
Call me Leon.
Hey, stop kissing my wife!
Only on the cheek. What man could resist this feminine delight? Oh, you're so fortunate, Monsieur Case. I hope only you realize how fortunate you are.
Oh, I'm sure he does. But what about those awful dreams he's been having, Dr. Leon?
So he dreams. Everybody dreams. Not to worry, dear lady. And you, Monsieur Case, you take nice long walk after dinner, then no more telephones not working in your dreams, sir.
Oh, Ludlow, isn't that wonderful? All you need is more exercise.
Great. Just great.
Madam Evie, please wait in the outer office, dear lady. I must have one moment with your husband.
Of course. Goodbye, and merci.
Merci to you. I must kiss your hand. With your permission, of course.
Go ahead.
Au revoir.
Doctor, you didn't even...
You are frustrated. Mr. Fife, like that, you're frustrated? Get out of here! You are crazy!
Oh, quite a fiasco.
You know, I thought maybe I was crazy. Crazy anyway to pay $50 an hour to be told I was. I just gave up. Went along as best I could. Then she did something else. And I decided to have it out with her once and for all. That night, I came home, washed up, went into the kitchen. Listen, Evie, I have to talk to you seriously.
Oh, good. But not now, darling. I'm fixing dinner. Escargot bourguignon.
Yeah, who wants fancy schmancy? Can't we ever just have hot dogs?
You're overweight as it is, honey. Yeah,
but now, look
here. I know, dear. You're being considerate. You're trying to save me work, but I enjoy doing it for you.
I am not being considerate. I'm trying to talk to you. Evie, I'm not a baby. I'm not your child. I'm your husband.
Of course you are, dear. What a silly thing to say.
Well, you treat me like a child. You embarrass me.
Oh, I would never do that.
I know you don't mean to, but you just don't seem to realize how humiliating...
Hand me that big spoon, will you, darling? You want a little taste now?
No, I don't want a little taste now. I want you to listen to me. Evie, I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading for us. I am about at the end of my rope. Now, you've got to listen to me.
I'm listening, dear. I wouldn't humiliate you for the world.
Well, you do it all the time, and you did it again this afternoon when you brought my galoshes to the office.
But it was raining.
Drizzling. I'm a grown man, Evie. I have a right to get my feet wet if I want to.
Oh, but you don't want to, do you?
Yes, I do. I want to get my feet wet.
Now, you are being childish.
No, you are being childish. In fact, you're being infantile if you can't see what's wrong with bringing my galoshes to the office. If you can't or won't see that, you're hopeless. You're hopeless, and I can't take it anymore. I'm leaving.
Dinner will be ready in 5 minutes.
Well, enjoy it. I'm going out for a hamburger with French fried onions. And then I'm going to a hotel for the night. And in the morning, I'm going to see a divorce lawyer.
If you're really running away from home, you'd better have dinner first.
Goodbye, Evil!
You actually walked out on us?
Yeah. But I went back. I had the hamburger and the onions, and I dropped in at a drugstore for some antacid tablets. I was within a couple of blocks of our house when I heard the siren. My heart started pumping like mad. Somehow I knew the siren was for Evol. I got this dank feeling like my gut was just a big hole and I was being sucked into it. By the time I got to the house, they were carrying her out. I grabbed hold of one of the medics. He told me she'd taken a whole bottle of sleeping pills. I rode with him to the hospital, and I paced the emergency waiting room while they pumped out her stomach. I hadn't tried to understand her. She'd lost her mother and father when she was a kid, and I guess she was scared she'd lose me, too. It was a long wait. And then when one of the doctors came to tell me she'd be okay, he looked at me like I was some kind of villain.
Mr. Case?
That's right. How is she, Doc? Is she all right?
Well, fortunately, the ambulance got to her in time. You're a very lucky man, Mr. Case.
Oh, yeah, I'll say.
Your wife is a wonderful person. Her first thought was to protect you. The moment she regained consciousness, she said you were in no way to blame for what happened.
Well, we had...
It's just fortunate that someone called. A neighbor, perhaps. You'll want to thank whoever it was.
Oh, sure, sure. Can I see Evie now?
Mm-hmm. For a moment.
Hi, Evie.
I'm sorry, Lud.
You're sorry. It's all my fault.
No, it's mine. You were right. And I promise you, I'll try. I'll try not to love you so much.
Mm-hmm.
just tore me apart. What do you do with a woman like that?
Well, did you ever thank the neighbor who called?
And you know, I never could figure out who it was. Evie said she didn't know. When we got home, she told me again she understood what I'd been trying to say and that things would be different. But they never were. I just tried to accept it as best I could. She just didn't have it in her to change.
Well, we all have our hang-ups.
I guess so. Maybe if I hadn't gone on the camping trip, but, oh, Lord, how I wanted to go. I can't remember ever wanting anything so much, except maybe my first bicycle. There were 10 of us, guys I used to pal around with in high school. Every year, in September, we'd go up to the mountains for a weekend. But I hadn't gone with them since I was married, because Evie was afraid I'd get snake bite or poison ivy or something. That year, though, Brad, my buddy, kept insisting. One night he dropped by the house unannounced to try to talk me into it. Maybe if he hadn't, everything would have been different.
Vincent Price again, and here's the fourth act of Love Spelled Backwards. Evol has welcomed Ludlow's friend, Brad, and is serving refreshments.
Some more mint frappe, Brad.
Don't mind if I do. Hey, this is just great. Old Lud here sure hit the jackpot when he got you.
I'm the lucky one to have him.
Now, Evie.
Now, you sure wish you'd reconsider, Lud, and come along. You know, we always used to call ourselves a terrible 10, but without you, we're just the nasty 9.
Why don't you go with them, darling?
What? What'd you say, Evie?
Why don't you go on the camping trip with your friends? It would be a nice change of pace for you. You've been working so hard.
But I didn't
I know you're worried about leaving me, but I'll be just fine. I'll wash my hair and hem up those curtains, and the first thing I know, you'll be back.
You mean it?
Well, sure she means it. Like my Alice, can't wait to get rid of me for a couple of days.
I promise to keep all the doors and windows locked at night, so I'll be perfectly safe.
Sounds like she was trying to change.
Yeah. She sent me off with a brave smile and the world's largest first aid kit. Oh, golly, that was a beautiful spot. Only a couple of hours from town, but like a whole different world. I hadn't felt so good, so relaxed, and I don't know when. The air was crisp, and you could smell the pine trees, and I felt, well, how would you say it? Attuned. Attuned to the guys and the earth and the stars. Attuned to God Almighty.
It sounds great.
We were sitting around the fire that first night singing and laughing and telling jokes.
Okay, guys, therapy time. Our annual Tell Your Pals What's Bugging You session. Now, here's where the terrible 10 let it all hang out. Come on, Lud, you go first. It's only fair, seeing you miss so many.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you fellas, but right now, nothing's bothering me. Right now, I'm the happiest guy in the whole world.
Hey, what do you mean coming up here happy and making us all look bad?
Well, I got something to gripe about. My boss. You want to hear what he did to me? Yeah.
Don't answer that, guys.
Well, he brings his punk kid in, tells me I should teach him how to run the repair department. I tell him, you want your son to run the repair department? That's fine, but count me out. I tell him, I'm not teaching nobody how to put me out of work.
Hey, atta boy, friend.
So the boss, he says, hey, wait a minute. He's not putting me out of work. He doesn't really want Junior to run the place. He just wants him to think he's running it. Seems a kid can't hold a job, and the boss figured it's because he's got no confidence. Well, I'm about to enlighten him that what the kid really hasn't got is brains. But the boss gets real chummy, takes me out for a drink, and asks me to please as a special favor to help him out.
He sure knows the way to your heart, old buddy.
So now I got this nitwit on my hands, and with everything else I have to do, I got to keep an eye on him so as he doesn't get some car's wiring all fouled up and maybe kill somebody. Well, fellas, what do you think of that?
You got trouble, all right.
Hey, look out. There's a car coming right at us.
Hey, look out.
Turn! Get out of here!
What the hell?
Holy mackerel, what a driver!
Who the hell is it?
Looks like my car.
My God, it is my car!
Evie's at you!
Oh my God.
What are you doing here? What's the matter? What's wrong?
That's all!
Evie, come on, get out of the car! You all right?
Oh, dear. Did I hurt anything?
Just totaled our tent, that's all. Besides scaring the pants off us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Evie, what is it? Is it my dad? Did he have another attack?
No, dear. Your daddy's okay. And even if we weren't, I wouldn't come up here and ruin your weekend by telling you.
Well, what happened?
Can you put the tent back up, boys? Will it be all right?
Well, we'll try. But don't worry, it'll be okay.
God's sake, are you going to tell me what you're doing here?
I just came to bring you something you forgot.
What did I forget?
It's all right, dear. I brought them. Here. You know you have to take your vitamins.
Vitamins?
Well, a doll like that, I couldn't let her drive back all alone now, could I?
Well, I guess not.
Yeah. It was about 2 in the morning when we got home. We went into our cozy, neat-as-a-pin house that Evie had decorated so it looked like it could have been in a magazine. But that night, somehow, it seemed strange. Alien. As though I'd never seen it before. Evie said she'd fix me a nice, hot cup of milk. Then she came over, raised her lips for a kiss. I don't remember doing it. I don't remember my hands at her throat or her body going limp. I don't remember anything except a kind of wondrous sense of freedom. With you, Folliday. I'm begging you, don't let him strap me into that electric chair. I want to live. I want to live as long as possible. I can't die. Not yet.
Well, you still haven't told me what made you change your mind.
She came to me last night. Ewald, she stood right there, right where you're standing. I could see her. I could see right through her. She spoke to me. She said, "I forgive you, my dear." She said, "I love you. I'm waiting for you. Oh, don't let me die. Don't let me die."
Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Love Spelled Backwards, was written by Marion Turk and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Vincent Price. Our stars were Parley Bear and Virginia Gregg. Featured in the cast were Hans Conried, Larry Moss, Dawes Butler, and Barney Phillips. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
Mutual Radio Theater has been brought to you in part by Sears, a name that means quality and value, a name that you can count on for service and dependability. Sears, where America shops for value.
This is Cicely Tyson, inviting you to join us tomorrow at this time for another story about love, the most unpredictable of human emotions.